Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotionals. Yesterday we talked about what is truth. Sometimes we think that truth can be relative or subjective or that it can change. But what we came to read yesterday is that the truth of God's word is the absolute standard of truth by which all other truth can be measured. The Bible, the truth of God's word, is not just a book of silly myths, it's not just an interpretation of mankind. But it is a true account of eyewitness testimonies inspired by the Holy Spirit, guiding believers to continue to follow Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And today Peter is going to continue his train of thought here and talk about not only what is truth, but then he warns believers that there will also arise false prophets and teachers. And so that's what we're reading today in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. All right, there is so much jam-packed in these 10 verses, and we might not be able to nitpick on every little thing here. Just for the sake of time. But what I do want to focus on for today is how God is a God of justice and how God is also a God of rescue. Just as there arose false prophets alongside the true prophets of God in the Old Testament times, Peter warns the believers then who are scattered across different nations, and I believe that he's also warning us believers today that there will arise false teachers who will try to mislead the church. The people of God, during the time that Peter had written this letter, they were scattered across many different nations, foreign nations. The church of God was scattered, and he's warning them that as the church is scattered, there's going to be more people who try to dissuade them from actually following Jesus, who will actually teach and prophesy something that is contrary to Christ. And I believe that that still exists today. We see different examples, which I probably won't be able to go into all the different examples right now, but there are different examples in our day where people have tried to dissuade Christians from believing in the truth. And this is something that I truly believe that we need to be on guard of, because if you are not challenged by what other people think about your faith, then the reality is probably that you are in a bubble. You are surrounded by only Christians who think like you. And so on one hand, that might be helpful if you're a young Christian and you need to continue to grow in your faith. But at the same time, Jesus calls us to not be in the world, not to be of the world, but to be in it. And so as we are in the world, as we are surrounded by people who not only profess to believe in Jesus, but also say that they don't, or maybe they're not sure, there are going to be people who are adamant that Christianity is not true, that Christ is just a silly myth, that he wasn't real. And when we hear these things, our faith starts to shake. And Peter turns to the believers of his day and wants to remind them that just as God was able to judge false prophets and teachers in the Old Testament time, and was able to judge those who had gone against the will of God, he is also able to rescue the godly, those who cling onto God's truth and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is a God of justice, and he is a God of rescue. He uses this if-then kind of argument throughout verses 4 to 10. He starts with one argument that God has shown justice upon angels who have sinned. If you didn't know this, angels weren't like some kind of puppets. They also had free will. They had the choice to either abide by God's will, to live according to who God is and what he desired and what his heart is for, or they could choose to go against it and to sin and to do what they want. And so there are these angels that have sinned, and he had cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness, as it says in verse 4, to be kept until the judgment. And so there's this judgment upon sinful angels. Another example he gives is the flood that God had brought upon the world of the ungodly. But God saved Noah and seven others and had preserved them. And we see that God is not only a God of justice upon the ungodly, but he saves and rescues the righteous. A third example he gives is how he rescues Lot, who is greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked. And here he's talking primarily about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so God condemns the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into extinction, but then he rescues Lot and his family. And so in these different examples, we see that God's justice will rain upon the ungodly and those who lust after worldly passion and despise authority, specifically the authority of God. That's what we read in verse 10. But we also see that we can place our trust in the Lord who rescues the godly from trials. You know, as we continue to think about who we are, and who specifically who we are in light of who God is, it puts things into perspective that God is our King. He is our Lord and our Savior. He is the righteous judge. He is a patient and gracious Father, but he is also a righteous judge. And I think this has implications on the way that we live our own lives. You know, if there is anything in your life right now that the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart and saying, what you're doing in your life is not right, it is sinful, it is dishonoring to God, I truly believe that is the Holy Spirit telling you to repent, to turn away from sin and all unrighteousness, and to pursue godliness, pursue the truth and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember what we talked about yesterday, that the truth of God is Jesus himself. And we come to know Jesus more clearly, primarily through the Word of God, through the Bible. And I want to encourage you to take active steps to turn away from sin and to turn to Jesus through his Word and receive guidance and power from the Holy Spirit. So I think that is one of the implications as we reflect on how God is a God of justice. But if you are also currently going through something right now, maybe you're going through a tough season. Maybe you're going through some kind of persecution. Your family and friends don't approve of who you are as a Christian. Maybe your colleagues are judging you for being such a devout and passionate follower of Jesus. Maybe there's something else going on in your life where you feel like you're going through some kind of suffering. I want to encourage you to know that you can place your trust in the God of rescue. God is going to rescue you from your trials, from your suffering. And I hope that you can find comfort and solace in that truth, that God is while he is all while he is a God of justice, he's also a God of rescue. And you can find great peace in that truth. And so let me pray for us as we close out our devotional. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God of justice, that you are wholly just, you are wholly righteous, you know what is good, and you know what is evil. And when it comes to you, God, truth is not a relative thing. It is not a subjective thing. But Lord, truth is absolute because you are truth. And I pray, God, Lord, that you would help us to live in such a way that is in line with your truth, that is in line, God, of who Jesus with, in line with of who Jesus is. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be set on the path of righteousness. And God, I also thank you that you are a God of rescue. You are a God who rescues us, God, from trials and suffering and persecution. And so, Lord, I pray for anyone who is listening right now and may be going through different trials in their lives right now. Help them, Lord, to trust in the God of rescue. And so, Lord, we thank you. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful weekend and hope you can join us again next Monday. Have a great day.